Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about 2 Corinthians 8. Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the churches of Macedonia. In the terrible ordeal they suffered, their abundant joy and deep poverty overflowed into rich generosity. For I testify that they gave according to their ability, and even beyond it, of their own accord. They earnestly pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And not only did they do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us, through the will of God. So we urged Titus to help complete your act of grace, just as he had started it. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we inspired in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not giving a command, but I am testing the sincerity of your love through the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And this is my opinion about what is helpful for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but even to have such a desire. Now finish the work, so that you may complete it with the same eager desire according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. It is not our intention that others may be relieved while you are burdened, but that there may be equality. At the present time, your surplus will meet their need, so that in turn, their surplus will meet your need. This way there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had no excess, and he who gathered little had no shortfall. But thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same devotion I have for you. For not only did he welcome our appeal, but he is eagerly coming to you of his own volition. Along with Titus, we are sending the brother who is praised by all the churches for his work in the gospel. More than that, this brother was chosen by the churches to accompany us with the gracious offering we administer to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this generous gift. For we are taking great care to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. And we are sending along with them our brother, who has proven his earnestness to us many times and in many ways, and now even more so by his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. In full view of the churches, then, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our boasting about you. This is God's Word. If you've been following along with these readings, you may recall that a while back we were reading portions of the book of Acts, and then we broke away from our reading of Acts back in Acts chapter 19 to read these two letters to the Corinthians. It seems clear that Paul wrote both of these letters during the 2 years that he was in Ephesus, and we know about those 2 years from Acts chapter 19, verse 10. In the middle of Acts 19, verse 21 says, after all this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. Well, Corinth is in Achaia, which is the southern peninsula of what we call Greece. Paul's purpose for going to Jerusalem by way of Macedonia and Achaia was to collect an offering from the churches in Greece to help the believers in Jerusalem who were suffering under a famine. Today's reading, 2 Corinthians 8, discussed that offering for the believers in Jerusalem. First, Paul described the generosity of the Macedonian churches in verses 1 through 9. Now, Macedonia is in the northern part of Greece. And the churches there were the Philippians, the Thessalonians, and others. These churches were facing trials of their own, as we saw in verse 2a. but they were generous in their giving nonetheless, as we saw in verses 2b through 5. Paul used their example to encourage the Corinthians to excel in their giving as well. We saw that in verse 7a, which they had already promised to do, according to verses 10 through 15. Then this chapter closed with a description about how Titus and someone else were coming to collect the offering from the Corinthians. That's in verses 16 through 24. In the middle of that section, verses 19 through 21 discussed the level of accountability that they were using as they carried out this gift. Paul said in verse 21, this time from the NIV, "For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men." In Paul's world, people paid traveling speakers for their wisdom and even for religious instructions. And that gave dishonest, unscrupulous people an opportunity to take advantage of the people they were supposedly teaching by asking them to give money to a good cause. But then they would keep much, if not all of it, for themselves. Paul wanted to guard against the temptation to take that money. He said in verse 21, "I want to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord." But also Paul wanted to guard against the appearance, any appearance, or accusation of him stealing it. Verse 21 says, "but also in the eyes of men." Accordingly, each church that gave also sent a representative with Paul to accompany this offering to Jerusalem. That way there were plenty of witnesses that every dime collected was given to God's people. Having good financial controls and accountability don't lift one spirit in worship. However, the Bible says repeatedly that someone's attitude about money reflects that person's walk with God. The Bible warns us again and again about false teachers who are looking for financial gain and for others who will use the Lord's work as a means to get wealthy. Today, many ministries have been victims of embezzlement. Others have enriched the ministers in ways that might have been perfectly legal, but were definitely not righteous in God's sight. These financial missteps, both embezzlement and enrichment, are both sins because they take what was given to the Lord's work for personal enrichment. I believe the Bible teaches us to give generously to the Lord's work. I also believe that part of giving generously to the Lord's work is providing well for those who serve the Lord in teaching the Word. But I also believe that God's Word requires us to handle the money given to the Lord's work appropriately. Ministries are not the only places where money can be embezzled or mishandled. If you're given the opportunity to handle an organization's money, whether a business or a church or a nonprofit, but if you're given that opportunity, be someone who welcomes good supervision and good financial controls. Those will protect you from false accusations, as well as from temptation. And so we as God's people need to be careful about how we handle money. We need to welcome accountability. And we need to remember that God sees all things, even if other people miss it. So be honest and be careful as you handle money. And I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.